sermon outline. What is the title of this day's message? All right. Pastor Rick brought us in the year with excellence in action and how we are discovering God's blessings through giving. Pastor Toby kept us going with discovering God's blessings in our serving. And here I'm going to wrap us up in discovering God's blessings in our relationships, saints. And I must confess that as I was preaching this message this morning, I thought I was going to get beat up after church. I really, really don't intend on ever being negative, you guys. It is not my intention. And honestly, when I was writing this, the more I wrote it, I said, Lord, are you talking to me? Are you talking to the whole Sullivan family? I really thought he was only talking to me. So if you feel anything that the Lord is speaking to you, you know, just if the shoe fits, you know, God is talking to you. But before we go on, saints, let us take the time to pray. God, you are so good, so wonderful. And we thank you, Lord, for your comforting presence. We thank you that you are a God who wants us to discover you, that says search after you and know you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to know you, for helping us to rise up in excellence, to reach for a new level, Lord. We don't want to be the same, Lord. We want to be new in this decade, Lord. So help us to put our lives in line with your will, your plan, and your purpose. And it's our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Saints, just for reference, I want to make sure to get this out before we go any further. We're going to start with a relationship test that actually came to me from the Hospice of the Western Reserve, so it's not something I created. And most of the material that I am using in my message today came from the Love Dare movie series and their follow-up Bible study. So if you want to study more, learn more, just look up the Love Dare movie, watch the movie, get their Bible studies, get their information. Pastor T has a lot of it. Mary Sensation used a lot of it, so you don't have to go buy something. There's a lot of information already here. Okay, so we're going to begin with what I call a relationship test. And again, this is not my test, but it has touched me so deeply that I enjoy using it because I know how much of an impact it has. So I need you all each to have a paper and your bulletin. I mean, something to write with in your bulletin. And there's some kind of little bit of white space on your bulletin. I want you to use that. So everybody, please get something to write with, because you're going to need something to write with for this relationship test, okay? Everybody ready? Raise your hand if you need something to write with. The ushers are coming down the aisle. I want you to have something to write with. Okay. And if you don't hear one of my questions, they're going to be going up on the screen. So just look toward the screen if I talk too fast. But we want to make sure we don't go too long in this service today. All right, so everybody pretty much ready? You can just listen and follow along. The pens and pencils are still coming. So first thing I want you to do, and is I want you to write down the three most important material objects that you own. And by the way, some of us that have been to session, you've already done this test, so just redo it and act like you never did it before. But write down the three most important material objects that you own. That can be your car, your house, your bicycle, your Wii game, your MP3 players, your iPod, your big screen television, whatever it is that you own that is yours, your clothes, your shoes, your socks, whatever you want to put, three most important material objects that you own. From this morning, the youth told me it was their cell phone. Number two, write down the three most important people in your life. And when I say people, I want you to write their name. Don't just write my kids. Write their name. I know that's hard. I got six kids, y'all. Write down the three most important people by name. That could be your spouse, one of your kids, two of your kids, your parents, your grandparents, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your best friend, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, your godparents, someone here at the church. But the three most important people in your life. Okay, next one is write down the three most important things that you cannot buy with money. So this can be stuff like your health, your faith, your love, hope, trust, loyalty, kindness, having fun, laughing, being silly. The three most important things to you that you cannot buy with money. Next, I want you to write down the three most important activities to you. So sports, gardening, exercise, eating, cooking, reading, relaxing. You can even put having sex on there if you want to. For those of you in True Love Waste, I do not want to see that on your list. Now, next, I want you to write down the three things or people that are important to you but not already listed above. So you might write money, your education, coworkers, your job, but three things that you already don't have on the list that you want to put on the list, okay? So everyone should have about 15 things on your list. Do we need a quick review? Okay, number one was the three most important material objects. The second one was the three most important people. Then we have the three most important things that money cannot buy. The three most important activities. Then any other three things that you already don't have listed. Okay? We good? All right. So now I want us all to listen to this story, and this story relates to your life. It's just by pure coincidence, okay? I'm not telling anybody's business. It's just a story. All right. So we have Stacy, and Stacy is a beautiful girl, and she was born on a beautiful day, just an amazing day to come into the world. Saints, I want you to scratch one thing off your list. Scratch one thing off your list. Y'all are funny. Y'all was like, what? She didn't say we was going to have to scratch things off. I wanted to put this. Don't change your items. Don't go back and change nothing. All right, so scratch one thing off your list. So it was a beautiful day for Stacy to be born, but she did not know that she was being born into a poor family. Scratch two items off your list. Two more. So now you should have three that's gone. Okay. Being poor wasn't a big deal, though. She had parents that loved her and made the best of her life. Even though they were poor, they had nice things and lived in a nice home. When Stacy was still young, her parents divorced. Scratch two more things off your list. Now we're up to five. After the divorce, life went down fast. Stacy didn't know what to think. She just knew that her heart was breaking. Scratch two more things off your list. Y'all like, oh my goodness. Can't take away that. My cell phone is so important. Stacy and her mom tried to pull together and keep moving, but then Stacy became six. Scratch three things off that list. Stacy thought, I'm just too young to be so sick. How could this happen to me? Strike two more things off that list. Stacy pulled herself together and began to get treatments. Her mom could not afford to get all the medicine that she needed, though. Strike one more thing off your list. Finally, things began to look up. Stacy's mom got a new job and better insurance. Stacy began to finally take her treatments, and at first it seemed like the treatments were working, but the next thing Stacy knew, she was blinking back tears in her eyes as she looked around at her family, who were standing around her bedside. Scratch one thing off your list. Stacy didn't want to be in this bed. She didn't want to be in this place. But there she was, taking her last breath. Scratch your last thing off your list. Let me ask you, what was that last thing? Was it a material object? Was it an activity? Was it faith, hope, love? Was it your education? Perhaps the last item on your list that you held on to dear life for, that you didn't want to give up above all else, was a person. Perhaps it has something to do with a relationship. You see, saints, relationships are the most important part of what it means to be human. Relationships are not optional. There is nothing special in this world without another human being to share it with. Try imagining making that touchdown point in the football game and you have absolutely no fans cheering you on. Try getting married and walking down the aisle and there's no one there to meet you. Try graduating with your cap and your gown and you're so proud and you're so thankful and walking across the aisle and there's no one in the room clapping for you. You know, saints, every great song came at the inspiration because of a human relationship. There will be no great rap songs. There will be no rhythm and definitely no blues. And there will be no love songs without relationships. I can't think of one thing that one human being can do without another human being. Even our inventions. Relationships are not optional. We need each other. You see, saints, God created us to be in relationships. God created us to be connected. You see, God could have created all of us out of the dust of the earth, just like he created Adam. He could have said, Walter, you come from this dust, and Eula, you get to come from this sand, and John, you get to come from that little bit of dust back there. But he didn't. God said, you all will come from each other. And Adam is the only human being to enter this world that didn't have a mother. He is the only one. God designed us to be in relationships. Even Jesus Christ himself came into the world as part of a family. We always talk about Mary, but Jesus also had a father. He had cousins. He had aunts. He had uncles. He had all kinds of friends around him. He was in relationships. Our relationships are, in fact, a reflection of our relationship with God. Let me just break that down. You see, our relationships with each other reveal something about our relationship with God. We can tell what our relationships with God are like just by looking at what our relationships with each other are like. We can tell what our relationship with God is like just by looking at what our relationships with the church is like. Saints, read this scripture with me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. It's going to be on the overhead. If we say we love God, yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. You see, saints, some of us, we come to church and we acting all holier than thou. We so holy. We so holy. Girl, you don't know how much faith I got. But then we're not speaking to our spouses. We come to church and we just so proud of our faith. No one has it better than me. And we argue with our kids all the time. We come to church so holy, and yet we are putting down everyone. We are fighting. We are cursing each other out. And oh, my personal favorite is the silent treatment. Some of us so good at that, we can write books and sell, get money off that. But saints, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, who are you doing those things to? Who are you arguing with? Who are you cussing out? Who are you giving the silent treatment to? Not strangers in the street. It's members of our own family. And saints, I don't know about you, but most of our families would say that we are Christian, amen? We are all Christians, right? But look how we are treating our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Look how we treat our family members. Now, if you look to the person to your left and to the right, behind you and in front of you, you would say that that person is a Christian, right? Hope so. Any non-Christians present? Maybe we can yell at you. But saints, realistically, when we're yelling and screaming and cursing each other out, we're talking to a fellow brother and sisters in Christ. Saints, look how we treat the church. We're so holy. But we give $1 and that offering plate came by. We're so holy, but we don't ever want to serve or be inconvenienced. You know, I can get up early every day of the week, but except on Sunday. I can be on time every day of the week, but not Sunday. You know, God, you're asking me so much, but, you know, I just cannot show up on Wednesday to Bible study. I can't come on Friday to that movie. That's too much. But we so holy. What does that scripture say again? If we say we love God yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. God is saying, how can you say you love me when you hate your parents? God is saying, how can you say you love me when you hate your family and you can't stand being in the same room with them? God is saying, how can you have a good relationship with me when you have a horrible relationship with your kids and when you have a horrible relationship with your spouse? How can you say you know me? How can you say you love me when you act like you don't even know your own family? Saints, God is saying, how can you want me in your life when you don't even want your church family in your life? Saints, we have got to realize, just like that last, it is our relationships that is the most important thing in this world. It is the love that binds us together. It is not the material. It is not the physical. It is love. Now, saints, this is the part I'm going to apologize ahead of time on. And if you think I'm talking about you, I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about myself. Now, every Sunday, many walk in these doors and they are angry. Angry. They are not speaking. They are upset. They have been cursed out. Some of them have already even been whipped. Many of us come in carrying a switch and a belt. Us ladies, we don't got so good, we know how to take off our purse strap, and that becomes the belt. And I have to confess that even this morning, I got so angry. My anger went, wah! I just got instantly angry at my kids on the way to church. And I said, Pastor Kelly, you got like all these pages of this sermon written, and you can't even help yourself. I was so angry, I got immediately convicted. I called my husband on the phone. I said, I'm so angry. He said, pull yourself together. But I got to confess, I was angry. Some of us are so mad, we even mad at the people we driving next to. We yelled at those Sunday drivers. Said, why don't you get out the way? But them same Sunday drivers was on their way to church just like you. That was a Christian you yelled at or you gave a finger to this morning. That was a Christian. Nobody did that. That's right, Pastor T. But saints, if we would only look back at these persons that we are cursing out, that we are ignoring, that we are angry with, that we are just, you know, we are being driven crazy by, we would think that is a Christian. That is a person that God loves. That is a person that at one time in my life I can say was near and dear to my heart. So what has happened in our relationships? Why are we so broken? What is going on? The answer, sin. Sin and more sin. If we really stop to think about it, every single relationship that we are having a problem with right now, we can trace it right over to sin. Even if we didn't commit the sin, somebody committed a sin that caused a break in our relationship. The sin of anger. Saints, why are we so angry? How is it that we can go from 0 to 100 with 100 being super, super, super angry in less than 2 seconds? We can get fired up and all someone has to do is look at us the wrong way and we angry. Why are we so angry? Some of us, it seems like that anger is a second language. And you see, we got French, we got Spanish, we got German, then we got the language of anger. Like, we can't talk without yelling. And I know you sitting out there saying, but Pastor Kelly, even Jesus got angry. Remember that story about him in the temple when he knocked over all those tables? Even Jesus got angry. Well, I'm going to say back to all of us, including myself, Jesus got angry one time. It took him 33 years to do it. How many times have you been angry? Just today. We don't even need to go back all the way back since the day you was born, how many times you've been angry. But let me tell you, it's way more than one time. And it was way before you turned 33 and way after you turned 33. You see, anger is just a mask for other emotions, like distrust and pain and misunderstanding and fear and isolation and abuse. You see, saints, this morning when I got so angry, I thought, why am I so angry? And it's because I was really hurting. And I was having pain. And the persons that had hurt me, I was like, don't you even realize you hurt me? But instead of saying that, I got angry. Situation would have went a whole lot smoother if I had just said, you hurt me. So many of us have been hurt so many times that we are just afraid of being hurt one more time. We get so tired of being hurt, and the people who are hurting us the most are the very people who are supposed to love us the most. So we put up the wall. I call it the super wall. And this wall goes up, and we don't let anybody in. And the problem with this is that when we have that wall in place and we're not letting anybody in, no one's going to get to our heart. No one's going to hurt us. We're going to keep everybody out. The problem is when we're keeping everybody out, we are also keeping God out, and we can't let God in. Ask yourself, especially if you're angry all the time, if you are pushing everyone away and you're putting up walls everywhere you go, do you feel closer to God? You see, saints, it's impossible to feel closer to God if you are not close to God's people. What's interesting, saints, is that deep down, most of us want better relationships. Most parents want to be able to talk to their kids. Most kids want to be able to talk to the adults in their life. Most adults want to be able to communicate with those in their life. We all want respect. We all want to give respect. Nobody goes into the marriage thinking, I'm going to have a horrible marriage. We all want these good relationships, saints. But we don't know what to do to get them. Well, saints, we're here to learn today. For we all know that love is the most excellent way. We even sang it in a song. But saints, if you're like me and you're thinking, if I'm vulnerable like that, if I'm the one that's kind, if I'm the one that's caring, if I'm the one that's letting everyone in, I'm going to be taken advantage of. You see, saints, I know you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Kelly, I've been down this road before. Soon as I go home today or I get to work on Monday, I'm going to start trying to be nice. I'm going to talk logically. I'm going to be patient. But Pastor Kelly, you don't know who I'm working with. It's like all these people in my family, they don't understand how to be patient. They don't know how to talk logically. It seems like the only way you can get them to do something is when you cuss them out. Just want them to do something simple, take out the garbage, they still sitting there. Help out with the chores, they still sitting there. Finally, when your top blows off, I see it, then something gets done. I understand, y'all. Let me ask you, are you really feeling joy in your relationships, especially when you're yelling? Do you really feel the blessings that you could be experiencing every day when all the time you're yelling and not getting along and fussing and fighting? Do you really believe that God has something better for you, better for your relationships? Saints, we want to be a blessing to all those that are lost in this world. We talk about it all the time. People out on the streets, people that are lost, the people in Haiti, the people in Nigeria, people in Africa, people in India. We want to help so many people, Saints. The problem is, until we get our own relationships right, how are people going to want to come in our doors? How are people going to say, oh, yeah, those are good people to be friends with. They're always cussing each other out. Those people love me for sure. Saints, we have to get some things right in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own families, so that we can make the best difference for God, so that we can live up to excellence in action. Amen. Saints, it's time to discover the blessings that God has for all of us in our relationships. So how do we begin? What do we need to do to get these blessings? Well, Saints, what we're going to do is we're going to start taking the garbage out. We got to get rid of the garbage and bring in the blessings. We're kicking out the garbage, dumping it down, throwing it down the street, dragging it around the corner, throwing it in the lake. And we are bringing in the blessings in our relationships. You see, Saints, we spoke about anger. It is time to put the anger in the garbage can. And leave it there. Throw it away. Don't bring it back out. And I know you're saying, what am I going to do when I'm angry or I want to get angry? You got to bring back in patience, steadfastness, and endurance. I know you're saying, but Pastor Kelly, I'm trying so hard to be patient with these people. I just sit there taking it and I take it and I take it and I'm trying to be patient and I'm trying to be loving and then I just explode. Then I feel all better. But Saints, do you really feel better? Did your explosion bring you closer to God and closer to your loved one? Patience is not just shutting up and keeping quiet and taking it. Patience is opening your mouth and saying, you hurt my feelings. That made me uncomfortable what you just did. Don't you love me like I love you? Patience is saying, I need this relationship. I want to be blessed by this relationship. I want you to be blessed by this relationship. So let's start all over in patience. Steadfastness and endurance are to keep on keeping on even when you don't see any changes. Because let me tell you something, Saints, it's not easy to be a Christian. If it was so easy, the whole world would be a Christian. It's not easy, but every day we get a new start. We get a new start to keep on enduring, to keep saying, you know what, Lord, it didn't work yesterday, but I'm going to try again today. So we put anger in the garbage, and we bring in patience and steadfastness and endurance. What else can we put in the garbage? Let's put in our envy and our jealousy and our coveting. All of us are guilty of this one. You see, Adam and Eve was in that garden, and God had given them every single thing. He said, you can have all the trees, the apples, the corn, the berries, the water, the grass, everything you want in this garden is yours except for that one tree. You'd think they would have been satisfied. Lord, we know you gave us everything, but we want that tree back there, the one you said we can have. And isn't that us? All of us have beautiful homes, beautiful clothes. All of us look good. All of us have families. And we say, Lord, I know you gave me all this, but I don't want that. I want what you gave that person over there. Their house looks nicer than mine. They had a better car than me. I want what they have. Why can't I have that? Saints, we are putting the jealousness in the garbage, and we are going to bring in rejoicing. 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 How much better is it to say, wow, look at what God has done for your life. I'm so glad God gave you that house. I'm so glad God gave you that job. I'm so glad you make the money you make. I'm so glad you look the way you did. I'm so glad for you. And I hope you're glad for me. Rejoicing with truth, because the truth is all of us God's. God gave us everything that we have. are blessed. So we're going to put in that garbage can being boastful and bragging and conceited. And I know you're sitting there saying, oh, that's not me. And if you're saying that, that is you. You see, we all boast and we all brag and we all say, oh, you know what? I have this degree. I have this education. I'm at this school. I got this job. I make this money. Just look how good I look. You know, my favorite one is when we all say, and all adults are guilty of this. When I was in school back in the day, I never did anything wrong ever. I would have never, ever done what these youth are doing today. Well, let me tell you, saints, back in the day, all of us that's over 18, we were a hot mess. We were a hot mess, and back in the day, somebody was saying, look at them youth and how they acting. Look how they acting. Look at them clothes they wearing. Look how they wear them hair, especially y'all that wore those afros. You know they was talking about y'all bad. Bell bottoms, yeah, my grandmother told me about some stories about them bell bottoms. Bell bottoms was not popular with your parents. So we are going to take out in the garbage being boastful, bragging, and conceited. And along with those, we're going to take out being proud and arrogant and egotistical. You see, some of us think that our way is the only way. Our way is the best way. There's no other way but the way I do it. Now, we all know that it's about 50 ways to get downtown, but my way is the best way, not your way. You might want to go down St. Clair, but I know for a fact Superior and Euclid might just be better. You know, you can go all the way around 480 and then hit downtown through Kinsman. But we all think that our way is the best way and the right way, saints. Pastor Toby was telling me about this lady who always found everybody's fault. She could see everybody's wrong. She came to church, sat down. She looked around. As soon as she sat down, she said, oh, look at them over there. I can't believe. Ooh, look at how their hair look. Oh, my God, I can't believe they wore that to church today. Did you see the pastor? I can't believe the pastor would even talk like that. This was the lady. She said that when she got up from her seat, by the time she had the door, God had convicted her that, when did you worship me? You sat there being so busy finding faults with everybody. You were so proud, so egotistical, so arrogant that you did not even worship me. Some of us need to fast from fault finding. How do we... We're going to put this stuff in the garbage, being proud, arrogant, and egotistical, and bragging, and boastful. But what are we going to bring in, saints? Instead of pointing out all the wrongs, it's time to start pointing out the rights. It's time to start looking at our family and say, you know what? You did do good on that test. You did do good on that job. I love when Walter talks his story about the grass. That grass does look good, Walter. Start pointing out the rights, and we will immediately stop focusing on the wrongs, saints. Saints, we need to take out the garbage of being rude and immodest and disgraceful. We come in the house, don't even speak to folks. Get there, come in the house. You ain't seen me all day. You can't even say hello, how you doing? Don't ask me about my day. As soon as I come in the house, mommy, can I have? I'm like, ugh. So if we put in being rude and modest and disgraceful in the garbage, what are we bringing in? Let's bring in pleasantness and goodness, saints. When we come in the house, all of us are accountable to saying hello. Not just the person who walked in or the person who was there. Say hello. It's not that hard. Talk to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor hello. Say, how you doing? Wasn't that hard, was it? Now, when you get home, don't forget what you learned. All day, just keep saying hello. They walk in the room, hello. Go to the bathroom, hey, how you doing again? It will change the whole atmosphere in your house if you just say hello. So we're going to bring in pleasantness. And pleasantness is not that hard to do most days. Sometimes it is a little hard to be pleasant. But in spite of those days, be pleasant. kind of keeping records of wrongdoing. Dominic, don't try to convict me now, y'all. My nephew is right there. He's going to be trying to hold me accountable to everything. We're going to take out and put in the garbage the sin of keeping records of wrongdoing. Saints, we are so good at keeping these long lists of everything everybody ever did wrong to us. I remember when they stole from me. I remember when they got those bad grades. I remember when they yelled at me. I remember they smacked me across the face. I remember when they was just acting a fool. I remember all the bad. Why is it so easy to remember the bad and not the good? No one can always be bad. Always, always doing the wrong thing. That is absolutely impossible, saints. Saints, so we're going to throw in to the garbage, keeping records of wrongdoing. We're going to bring in the blessing of keeping records of what they are doing right. Keep the record so that when the wrongs come about, we can say, oh, let me look at this list of everything you did right. Everything you did good, the times when you were nice, the times when you had a good attitude, the times when you remembered my birthday, the times when you got good grades, everything that you did right. Saints, we're going to put in the garbage the sin of delighting in evil. This is a big one for me. Because sometimes I get huge gratification when I see someone that has hurt me get theirs back. You know, we all know that scripture. Vengeance is in the hands of the Lord. And we can be real patient and we say, oh, yeah, God, you got it here. Finally, they got what they deserve. Thank you, Jesus. And we celebrate. We celebrate. But this is wrong, saints. Because whatever hurt them probably was a sin. And saints, and when we celebrate that they got hurt, we are celebrating a sin. So, saints, we put in the garbage delighting in evil, and we delight in good. We delight in good. You see, saints, some of us have struggles when someone gives their life to Christ, and we know how bad they've been and how messed up they've been. We say, I really don't believe that. They're just saying that. Delight in the good. They had the courage to get up here. They had the courage to come say the sinner's prayer. They had the courage to make a step. Delight in the good. Delight in the good. For none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. Saints, this one is not on your list, but I want you to write it in. Because we need to throw in the garbage, the sin of being selfish and self-centered, all about us. I just want to be all about me. I don't want to be about you. I don't want to focus on you today. I want to focus on me. We say that. Saints, read this scripture with me. Verses 3 and 4. It's going to be on our overhead. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Saints, let's throw in the garbage, the selfishness, and bring in the giving. Bring in the spirit of giving. Saying to ourselves, no matter what this person gives to me, I'm going to give them back good. I'm going to give them back kindness. I'm going to give them back joy. I'm going to give them back the love of Jesus. Giving. Giving. And it's not easy to give. Oh, my God, Christmas was so hard because some of our kids were so bad. And we say, like, I don't want to give you nothing. Some of us, we get into these arguments. And we're like, I am never going to buy you nothing. Or they don't ever buy us nothing. So we think I'm never going to buy them nothing. But saints, the joy and the blessing always comes from giving. It is always better to give than it is to receive. You're missing your blessing every time you decide not to give. Not to give. And then I think about in relationships, saints. We all so tight with our money. We so tight with our money, but when we find that new love in our life, we spending our money fast. We buying them flowers, taking them to movies, taking them to dinner, buying them clothes and outfits. But when it's a relationship with God, we say, oh, I just can't give that much, Lord. When it's a relationship with Jesus, we think, I cannot give to you all of this. Don't you know what else I got to buy? Got to go out on that date to the movies. But it's time to put selfishness in the garbage and bring in a spirit of giving. You see, saints, we know that it's going to be some tough times. Just like I already said, it's not easy being a Christian. But saints, we have got to have the attitude of, I want to get my blessings. I want to get my blessings, and I'm not going to let you stop me from getting my blessings. So I'm going to get rid of all that garbage, and I'm going to bring my blessings in, saints. You see, saints, our scripture reading from Corinthians 13 was the love scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Saints, this is the scripture that we all need to make our personal motto. We need to memorize it, carry it in our pockets, hang it up in the bathroom, so that's the first thing we see in the morning. So that, saints, we can take out and put in the garbage all of that selfishness, all of the envy, all of the times we covet, and we need to bring in patience and steadfastness and endurance, saints. Saints, you see, if we truly believe in God and truly trust that God wants the best for our relationship, then we can always be hopeful. We don't have to give up. We can expect the best, and we will get the best, saints. We can always persevere and always endure, saints. We need to say it over and over and over again, especially when we're angry, especially when we're feeling lonely, especially when we're tired. I want excellence in action in my relationships in 2010. I'm not going to settle for less. I'm not going to settle for missing my blessing one more day. Saints, we are going to be singing a song. They will know that we are Christians by our love. And just like we made the commitment two Sundays ago to our giving, then last Sunday we made a commitment in our service. This Sunday we are going to make a commitment in our relationships. And I know that there are at least three folks that you need to get better with. I know that there are at least three people that you have not been really talking to, that you've been struggling with, that you've been hating on, they've been hating on you, and you all have been having problems, and I want you to write their names on there. I also want you to check off what garbage you're going to get rid of. Are you going to get rid of being envy? Are you going to stop finding faults with everybody? What are you going to get rid of? And hopefully, on the side that says bringing in blessings, I hope you check off everything. And saints, we want you to take one home. Put it up on your mirror. If you are a family of 10, it should be 10 sheets hanging up on your walls. So we can all look and see, what did she say or he say he was making a commitment to? And then later on in the year, we'll give you back the ones you left here and say, did you remember? Did you forget what you said you wanted to do and what relationships you wanted to improve? Saints, we can't keep saying it ain't nobody's business what's happening in our relationships. It's all of our business. We cannot do this by ourselves. So if you feel led to excellent relationships in 2010, I want you to complete these forms right now. And I want us all to stand and sing, They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love. And saints, as we're singing, if you feel led that you need to stop and just pray, bring your person up with you if they're here with you, and pray for your relationships, saints.